case before the court.
Not that.
Nah. There is a prior ruling, I see.
I assume you know what the first question is. Yeah. Why is Hayes wrong?
Haley,
excuse me.
Judge, we'd argue, when you're looking at the statute, you're looking at the totality of the circumstances the General Assembly meant to bring before. They enumerated the people who can draw blood at 18.2, 268.5. With it as well, you got to look at what's the purpose. What is the General Assembly trying to accomplish? One, they're trying to establish you have a person who is qualified to draw the blood to begin with. Two, it's hard to believe the General Assembly will not take into account the safety factor as well. There's a safety factor that goes with drawing the blood extracted out of a human body.
But when we try to determine the intent of the General Assembly, we go to a whole series of rules of statutory construction, one of which being the rule of the last antecedent, which is mentioned in Haley.
Yes.
And it would seem that that rule clearly applies here.
Judge, I'd argue that it doesn't. Because a grammatical rule doesn't trump the legislative intent, if you can determine that from the statute.
A grammatical rule determines the legislative intent.
In many ways, and it may, Your Honor, unless it's ambiguous.
How is this ambiguous?
How is it ambiguous? There is a statute that lists certain things before the coordinating conjunction or, and then lists something after the coordinating conjunction or, and modifies those things with additional language. According to the rules of English grammar, assuming the General Assembly followed them, the modifiers only modify the things that follow the conjunction, not before. Registered nurse is before the coordinating conjunction, and that therefore is not modified. Assuming the General Assembly was writing an Englishly grammatically correct sentence, maybe not always a safe assumption, but assuming that was their intention, how does the modifying language affect registered nurse?
So as I understand, that's a rule of construction. And it is a grammatical rule for determining the legislative intent. But ask also to look at the totality of it and what they're trying to accomplish. Because if it's only in the statute, it does point out that only these people can draw blood. That's one of the first sentences up the very beginning. Only a physician, registered nurse. So it's trying to enumerate those people who could safely draw blood out of the defendant. Because not only are the qualifications necessary, but the safety factor has to go into it as well.
But the General Assembly is presumed to choose its words with care, and each word is supposed to have a meaning. If we read the statute the way you wish us to read it, such that any nurse who draws blood must be designated by order of the circuit court, then the reference to the registered nurse and licensed practical nurse in the first phrase of the sentence becomes superfluous. There would be no need to specifically refer to two types of nurses if all nurses had to be designated.
Because we'd argue that if you're leaving the statute, physician, registered nurse, licensed practical nurse, it then moves on to a phlebotomist, a graduate laboratory technician, or technician or nurse. The nurse, though, can be many qualifications. There's more than just a registered nurse and a licensed practical nurse in Virginia.
Well, right, and that harms your case.
Uh-huh.
Because registered nurse is automatically qualified, licensed practical nurse is automatically qualified, and then if we just use normal English grammar, any other type of nurse has to be on the court-ordered list.
I understand what you're saying.
Tell me why that's not right.
Because, Judge, we'd argue that Mr. Kaufman, my client, when we're looking at the statute, if you're looking at the issue of the nurse, I mean, I know the statutory or the grammatical construction will lead one to believe. But if you look at it in totality, if you're enumerating those people who can draw the blood, and then you have the nurse as well. I mean, they're all grouped together, and we'd argue that it's really the lack of a comma after nurse that designates whether a circuit court acts. Well, if you're reading the sentence in the flow, And I know what you're saying about the construction. I'm just saying that it appears to be, and I believe the legislative intent was to ensure there was a safety factor along with these nurses. Simply because you're a nurse doesn't mean you can properly draw the blood. You have nurses who've been a nurse, a registered nurse, for 1 week. Is that someone, because the
but
person
you have to,
like a
you have to meet certain minimum qualifications to become a registered nurse. You don't just one day wake up and decide to be one. So it
You're
appears
right.
that the General Assembly assumes that if you have met those qualifications, you can competently withdraw blood from an individual. If you have not met those qualifications, then maybe the circuit court wants to make sure that you're qualified.
Judge, we'd argue that applies to all of them. Because if you're recommended by a physician, just like if I use an example, if I may, this morning I left home. I left my 85-year-old mother-in-law at home. She lives with me. She is old. She is retired. She's got gnarled hands. She is a registered nurse. So under the Commonwealth's interpretation,
is she actively licensed?
She maintained her license. I don't know how she does it, but she's licensed.
Well, if the General Assembly, though, wanted to make certain qualifications or changes, it could. We're stuck with essentially the statute as it reads. Wouldn't that be correct?
It would be, Your Honor, if it's interpreted the way it was meant to be interpreted, which is the safety factor involved. She's not qualified to draw blood because no physician would look at her and say she can now do it.
But then they're okay with the 85-year-old physician with gnarled hands not being on the list and drawing blood, but not the registered nurse or the phlebotomist. And, of course, a phlebotomist, their entire role in life, professionally, is to draw blood.
Right.
So your safety argument doesn't work because the gnarled hands applies equally to people who not even you can maintain the modifier's touch. You don't can, I mean, any licensed physician or phlebotomist can draw blood under any set of circumstances, under your reading of the statute, correct?
Right.
They don't have to be on a court list.
Judge, we'd argue everyone would have to be on the court list, certified upon recommendation of a physician by order of a circuit court judge.
So your argument is just that it's because nurse is modified later, you think that everything in the statute is modified by, has to be on the list? Physician, phlebotomist, everybody.
For my argument to work, Judge, I guess it would have to be because I can't parse it. I can't go through and cut off the phlebotomist afterward and say it's afterward than that. It has to be grouped together. I know it sounds like...
Well, then why didn't the General Assembly just say anybody who draws blood has to be approved by the circuit court? That would be the way to state it in a way that supports your argument.
I think they were concerned about the health and make sure that person who is drawing the blood, not just someone who's on a circuit court order, but someone has the proper qualifications upon recommendation of a physician that you can safely draw this blood for the use of the Commonwealth. Because they have to consider the safety factor as well. The Burstfield case, and I can't, it's a constitutional issue, and I'm not bringing it up for that because that's not before the court. But it just show the scrutiny that goes with the entry of a human body with a needle and withdrawing that blood. That's an invasive action that has to be undertook. If it's not done properly, you turn into a pincushion, it's very painful, and there's liability involved with the statute. The statute even cites as liability involved with someone who acts negligently and doesn't do it properly.
Well, let me ask you this question then. The portion of the sentence that you want to apply says that the physician, well, the sentence would read, a physician designated by order of a circuit court acting upon the recommendation of a licensed physician. So you said the first part of the sentence is must be read in conjunction with the circuit court order. So we got a physician has to be approved by a physician before he can draw blood. That makes no sense.
Judge, on the face of it, I would agree. But if you think about it, is everyone in the medical community qualified to draw blood?
Yeah, but everybody in the medical community who would be seeking to draw blood would be qualified to recommend himself.
Yeah.
I would hope not.
Well, that's the interpretation you've put before us.
I would hope not. That would not be the case, Judge. But I think that's the intent, though, to make sure that person has the proper qualifications plus the qualifications required by statute to be a nurse, a physician. Plus, I recommend this person be used in a criminal prosecution. They can draw the blood properly and safely, because this is not a medical treatment that he's going to the hospital and that he's under dire distress. This person has been taken to the hospital, probably against his will, and is ordered to give a blood sample, a very intrusive type procedure. Something must go in his body. Blood must be taken out. And so it must be done in a proper way. And it's hard to imagine the Commonwealth or the General Assembly would not think about the safety factors that goes into that. In fact, they did. In fact, we'd argue that they has to be, upon recommendation, you're a person safe enough to do this in a criminal prosecution. Additionally, if you don't do it right, there's liability attached to it. And so not only do you have to have the paper qualifications that you actually are certified to do this type of work, but a physician has recommended that you are the person responsible and responsible enough to do this correctly and safely to this person who we have extracted out of their car and taken to the hospital for this to be done.
Let me flip to the second part of your argument. I guess it's kind of a preemptive strike on the substantial compliance statute. Was there any evidence that even if this person were not authorized by the circuit court, is there any evidence that the withdrawing of blood was in any way improper?
The actual drawing of the blood was not improper.
So why isn't that then substantial compliance? Why doesn't that just go to the weight to be given that analysis rather than the admissibility?
Judge, if you go along with my argument, I know maybe you don't, but if you do, no compliance is not substantial compliance. If it's compliance for the safety factor, for the requirement factor, that you have to be recommended by a physician, that you are qualified to draw this blood out of this person we brought to your hospital, and you've been ordered, it's by an order registered in the circuit court.
But
judge.
No court has ever interpreted the statute the way you would like it to be interpreted. There was no prejudice to your client. I mean, his arm wasn't swabbed with Jose Cuervo. What harm is there?
Judge, we argued there is no court of appeals or Supreme Court case. But I will tell you, there is a circuit court jurisdiction I know follows this rule to the letter. I know because I was the deputy Commonwealth attorney.
After somebody presents Haley to them, they may change their mind.
But Judge Black and Judge, that was a bright line rule in Bedford County for as long as many years as I can remember. They would not allow a blood test unless a circuit court judge, in fact, Christmas was the anniversary as the deputy, that would update with the Bedford Memorial Hospital every year and have Judge Updike sign it, and I was ready to go. And that was the rule from when I left there to go overseas in 2007, from the time I was there in 1995. And that was a bright line rule.
Mr. Padgett, you're approaching your rebuttal time.
Yes, thank you, Judge.
Good afternoon. May it please the court. I'm Victoria Johnson, and I'm here on behalf of the Commonwealth. Just briefly, Your Honor, the Commonwealth recognizes, of course, that Haley isn't binding precedent, but we do believe that it is highly persuasive in this situation because it is the same statute from the same jurisdiction, and obviously it would be extremely confusing if the court took a different tack in this case. The defense is attempting to distinguish Haley based on, I guess, a policy argument. However, it's well established in Virginia that the General Assembly sets policy, not the courts.
Washington versus Commonwealth, the Supreme Court of Virginia has said that courts interpreting statutes are not always bound by rules of English grammar and construction. They don't really provide a guide for when we shouldn't. I guess it's to avoid absurd results. The Commonwealth's position that there's nothing absurd about applying the rules of construction in this case.
Yes, Your Honor. In fact, it's the Commonwealth's position that the alternative would be absurd. As was argued in the Commonwealth's brief, were we to take the defendant's position that the limiting language applies to the entire statute because the different categories of nurses are listed. That would kind of ignore the qualifications of nurses and the education levels of nurses. The statute
I don't know how we can apply the rule that the General Assembly chooses its words with care when we have a sentence that goes on for some 16 lines in the Code of Virginia.
They chose
an awful lot of words in there.
Well, you know, Your Honor, they choose their words with care, not necessarily always with
concision.
With concision. Exactly. Thank you for providing that word, Judge Russell, and not getting me into too much trouble. However, I don't know that the court needs a grammar lesson from me today. It sounds like the court understands the rule of the last antecedent perfectly well, and I would go on to make the point that Chief Judge Huff made in Haley that reading the statute without applying the limiting language this way would render all of the different categories of nurses and other healthcare providers really redundant and superfluous. So we would ask the court to affirm, unless the court has questions.
Yeah,
I'm happy
to
answer questions.
Clarify one thing, because
yes, Judge Patey.
I put it up to Mr. Padgett. I'd like to get your response. The mm-hmm. the argument about the substantial compliance.
Oh yes.
We've got Supreme Court case Brooks versus City of Newport News, mm-hmm. where the Supreme Court says that lack of a license by a breathalyzer operator is not procedural, but rather than substantive. Wouldn't
yes.
that same rule apply here?
Yes, Your Honor, and I apologize. I had in my mind to bring that up since you had asked opposing counsel about it. We actually did cite that in a footnote in our brief. That's the reason we did not forward a substantial compliance argument in our brief. We also relied on Snyder v. Commonwealth. For that principle. No, this is not a substantial compliance case because of Brooks.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Your Honor.
Ms. Patch, got a few moments left.
Just a few moments. I don't want to keep beating a dead horse, but I think the court understands the issues for the court. And I just want to emphasize that one of the issues that was raised initially was the burden of the Commonwealth to complete this type of action. And it goes maybe in line with substantial compliance and may not. But if you're looking at the issues of is it impossible for this even rule to be implied or be implemented by the Commonwealth, it's not. Because it's a known fact, Roanoke County in the city of Salem always goes to Lewis Gale Hospital, and Roanoke City always goes to Roanoke Memorial. These are established procedures within the police department. Every jurisdiction has established those procedures. And is it really that onerous to do? I proffer the justice. I did it every year. And it was like clockwork. And it worked. And no one ever caught me with my pants down again. And Judge Black was very sure about that. So it was an issue whether it's too burdensome or onerous in the Commonwealth. No. Is it an issue of the issue reading the statute? And Judge Petty, I think you pointed out, it goes on and it goes on and it goes on and it goes. It doesn't stop. It's endless. So where do you draw the line? Where is one disjunctive as one is conjunctive? Are they read together? Are they not read together?
How about the use of or instead of and being your clue as to whether it's conjunctive or disjunctive?
It could be, Your Honor. But as it goes through, does that bifurcate it from the rest of the statute? So I guess if you're looking at it in the totality of that statute read together, I think that was the meaning, that you had the qualifications and the safety factor, the person is qualified to do it.
All right,
that's
thank
my time
you very much.
Thank you.
We'll greet counsel, and then we will stand adjourned.